business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are fluctuating. This update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Right now, we've got the S&P 500 index down a point at 2103, declining by 0.1%. Dow Industrials swinging between gains and losses. Right now, red on the screen, indicating a loss of half a point on the Dow at 18,103. The NASDAQ Composite Index down 2 points at 49.91. For NASDAQ, a drop there of 0.1%. We've got the 10-year up 5/32, yield 2.26%. Gold higher by $10. $11.93, an advance of 0.9%, and crude oil up $1.35 a barrel, 60.60 right now on West Texas Intermediate. That is a gain of 2.3%. Kathleen Hayes, Michael McKee, that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Charlie Pellett, thank you very much. This is Bloomberg 1130 in New York, 1200 a.m. in Boston, 960 in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's 2:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm William Pesek, a columnist for Bloomberg View. China's Zhao Xiaochuan is in a lonely place as growth dwindles. No playbook exists for a central banker overseeing a giant developing nation facing so many competing challenges. Deflation, excessive debt, vested interests fighting reform, chaotic world markets, you name it. Zhao would seem to have little choice but to make things up as he goes along. But there is one policymaker he should be studying as China's outlook darkens. That is Japan's Masaru Hayami. The travails of the former Bank of Japan governor come to mind as Zhou slashes interest rates way too slowly. If only Japan's Hayami had taken 3 steps between 1998 and 2003, Japan would not be still fighting deflation now. 1. Be far more aggressive with monetary easing. 2. Take toxic assets off bank balance sheets immediately. Hayami's third failing was being too timid with the bully pulpit. He should have demanded quid pro quos from the government. Okay, I'll print more yen, he should have said, if you address the comatose banking system, reduce trade barriers, cut red tape, and tweak taxes to encourage innovation. Instead, Hayami enabled Japan's political paralysis. China must avoid these costly missteps. To learn how, its central banker could do worse than look to Japan's experience. I'm William Pesek, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more opinion, please go to BloombergView.com.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every day at 5:48, 8:48, and 11:48 Wall Street time. So Greece has completed a €757 million debt payment to the International Monetary Fund. Although the cash crisis is expected to come ahead in the next few weeks, this is just one more step because there are more repayments looming in June. We're going to talk a bit about China also today after it cuts rates for the third time, showing concern about a slowing economy and maybe even a word about the Fed. With Banker to the World, he's back. William R. Rhodes, he's the head of William R. Rhodes Global Advisors. He's a former senior vice chairman at Citigroup, a senior advisor to Citi to this day. And we're very happy to have you back in studio.
Well, it's great to be with you, Kathleen, and with Mike, and a lot of things happening in the world.
Well, and of course, I just remind everybody that you've been through a lot of debt restructurings in Latin America in the 80s that led to the Brady Bonds in Korea. Is Greece ultimately going to need to default, restructure the debt, do something to get out from under this burden and potentially stay in the euro area?
Well, they've got to do a number of things. First of all, they have to come up with a plan. And, you know, I said that in my op-ed last month in the Wall Street Journal that basically says to the world where they're going to go in areas like pension fund reform, tax reform, labor reform, and what they're going to do on the privatization area, because there's no way that they can move forward without doing that. And we've run through months and months of this show business situation we've had with Varoufakis. And I think Tsipras has finally gotten the word that they have to do something seriously. On the other hand, in all fairness to the Greeks, I think there needs to be some debt relief. And my concern, as I mentioned on this program on a number of occasions, is a banking system. I think it literally is the Achilles heel. And they're being fed by the ECB. But the ECB isn't very happy about it because you continue to have a migration of funds out of the Greek banking system. And the only thing saving it from what happened in Cyprus is 2012 is the ECB continuing to put up money. to cover this. And at some point in time, this is going to run out. Plus, as you mentioned, Kathleen, they have these payments coming up, another 1.5 million euros in June to the IMF. And then in July and August, they have at least 3 billion coming up to pay off funds that have been given them to the ECB. And how they handle that, it's not clear. So you have the billion and a half. I said 1.5 million. It's 1.5 billion coming up in June, plus the 3 billion coming up in July and August. And there's no way that they can handle that without a release of the 7.1, 7.2 billion euros that is pending. But the powers that be, the finance ministers and the heads of state in the Eurozone, say they will not give that last tranche or pass that last tranche unless they see a plan that covers all of the above points that I just made.
Well, the Greeks are arguing that it's a question of debt and deficits. The Europeans are arguing it's a question of sustainability. What kind of pro-growth supply-side reforms are you going to make your country more competitive and better able to grow and service the debt? So at this point, Tsipras has to be the we've gotten to the point now where it looks like Tsipras has to be the one that caves.
Well, they are starting to give. You can see the different attitude in Varoufakis on this. But at the same time, I think the IMF and Christine Lagarde are right. Is you probably have to have some sort of debt relief going forward. I've been a big advocate for this.
Well, they pay nothing, and most of their debt isn't due for 30 years. I mean, they don't even start having to pay on most of it for a couple of decades.
Yeah, but the idea that that's certainly so with the private sector, but you still have these funds held by the ECB, and they can come down at any point on that. And so the question is, they need debt relief from some of this official debt. It's not just the bonds. They have this official debt where they have these payments coming due, and that's what's got to be pushed out, without a doubt.
So you do put reasonably high odds that eventually that's what Europe is going to come to grips with. They want Greece to take as many steps as it can, but in the end they'll realize this is a country of 11 million people. It's about the size of New York City, and it's got billions and billions of dollars worth of debt.
Well, put it this way. I wouldn't put it out of the question that you get into a technical default here at some point in time. I do not believe you'll have a Greek exit because the Greek people do not want that. And before there's any real probability of that, Tsipras is going to basically call for a referendum. But at the end of the day, I think it's very possible you could have a default on one of these payments, but I don't think an exit and something will be worked out. But I think you have to have debt relief, including, and this is going to be tough because the ECB and the IMF say they will give no debt relief. And, of course, the IMF said we don't want to give any debt relief, but we expect the official sector to think about the ECB to do it. So well, I think they have to kind of get their own act together.
The IMF is a little bit, I suppose, to make a not quite accurate comparison, but a little bit like the mafia. You don't not pay the IMF. I mean, only countries like Somalia and Yemen have defaulted to the IMF, and there are people who are worried that if Greece does that, it's all over. They've got to come up with the money.
Well, also, it depends on what you consider a default, because Argentina on a number of occasions has gone right to the end by not paying up to this 90-day period that they allow before they start considering an official default. So that's why I said a technical default here.
Okay. Michael, may I tweet you out saying that the IMF is a little bit like the mafia?
Well, probably don't want to.
All right. I love that. That's one of my phrases
there,
of the day, though.
It's a little bit like that. But
yeah.
I think you would make Christine Lagarde's day without
I think so, too.
Yeah. Well, you just don't. You don't mess with them. But at this point, the ECB isn't going to push them into default. I mean, the ECB doesn't want a political decision on its hands. So they're just going to – I mean, they can increase the haircut. They can clamp down on the amount of emergency liquidity assistance they give. But can you see the ECB actually taking the political decision to push Greece out of the Eurozone?
They obviously wouldn't take it on their own. This would have to be a decision right up to the heads of state of the Eurozone, without a doubt. And the whole, I think, idea of Mario Draghi is to squeeze as much as he can to force the Greeks to really go to the table and negotiate something. And then at the end of the day, let's just say that happens, which probably will happen. The question then gets, are they really going to implement it?
Well, and the thing is, it doesn't make sense that the Europeans do not really, do they really want Greece to exit? Don't they want to get as much as they can? And it, look, at it, they must know in their heart of hearts that something's going to have to be done for Greece, whether you like it or not. It's like a kid that won't grow up and gets in trouble. At some point, sometimes you just have to throw in the towel and say, I've got to do what I got to do.
The one thing you have to take into account on this, Kathleen, is that you have the governments of Spain and Portugal feeling very strongly on this, and maybe even Ireland, but certainly Spain and Portugal, because they have elections coming up this year. And remember, they're facing in Portugal a resurgent yeah. socialist party, and they're facing Podemos in Spain. So for them, it's more than just giving Greece a break here. It's political survival of the actual governments.
And they can argue, we did it, so should you.
Exactly. Which is what they're arguing.
William R. Rose, Global Advisors. Thanks for coming in today. Actually, Greek bonds, they did make the payment, as Bill says, and Greek bonds moved very little with the in comparison to the rest of the world. Greek tenure at this point is 10.6%. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg Radio.